Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated at this time. Well, let me start off today by saying happy Father's Day to all of our dads that are here today. There was once one little boy who asked to explain about Father's Day, and he said, well, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on the presents. Well, it is Father's Day, and usually it never seems such a big deal as Mom's Day does. Mother's Day is usually the higher attendance at church. Mothers often have corsages, emotions are running high, people gather later on at Mom's house, and all pay honor to the hands that rocked that cradle. But on Father's Day, as you look around, the church isn't as full, emotions aren't as high, and businesses really don't profit nearly as much, except one company, telephone companies. You see, companies report Mother's Day is the busiest telephone day of the year. But guess what? Father's Day is a bigger moneymaker. And you know why? Because all of our kids call us collect. Well, as you may know or may not know, this first national celebration of our Father's Day took place on June 19th in the year 1924. And it was a proclamation made by what president? Dick, I'm going to ask you. Do you have any idea?
Don't.
1924? It was Calvin Coolidge. Calvin Coolidge made that proclamation. But it came about because of a young lady by the name of Sonora Smart Dodd. She was sitting in church in 1909, and she was listening actually to a Mother's Day sermon and decided, you know, it wasn't a bad idea to have something to celebrate with their father. Her father had been the caregiver for her because her mother died at an early age, and she wanted her father to know how special that he was to her for all the things that he had done in her eyes. He was very courageous, very selfless, and he was also a very loving father. And so to make that story short, 25 years later, because of her efforts, President Coolidge designated the third Sunday of June as the Father's Day, and we have been celebrating that day ever since. And I am very glad that it is Father's Day, not because I'm a dad myself, and even though it may not be as significant as Mother's Day is, it still gives us a chance to honor those who stand at the heads of their household, who gather families together, sort of like in a team huddle, or who lead their families through life's battles. And so today, it is appropriate for us to take a few minutes and look thoughtfully at another special father from Scripture, and that is Jesus' earthly father, Joseph. He is Jesus' stepfather, and so today we're going to take a special look at him. Now, when we think about the cast of characters who have gathered around the story of Jesus' birth, it's very colorful and it's very memorable. We often recognize those people because of the special speaking parts that they had during that special celebration. First, we have the dramatic words of the angels, because they are the ones who come and they announce the birth of the Savior. And they appear to Joseph to announce that the name of the child would be, of course, Jesus. And then the angel Gabriel makes a very unforgettable announcement to Mary. And then we have the angelic choir that comes and they interrupt the shepherds, singing glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. And then there's Mary, who also has a divine selection, offers a beautiful hymn of praise and thankfulness. And then there are the wise men who come to the scene. They are desperate and in search to find that newborn king. And they're prepared to bring him presents and gifts in honor and worship of him. And then the shepherds become the very first evangelists, telling everyone that they saw what they had seen about that newborn king. But when you think about Joseph, oddly enough, he doesn't say one word. He's alone. He is the silent member of this cast, and he is often forgotten. The angels bring greetings. Mary sings a praiseful solo, and the wise men, of course, are involved in worship. And the shepherds preach. But Joseph is silent. He has no notable lines, no sound bites, no quotes. There's only silence. However, as people sometimes say, actions speak louder than words. And it is through his silent actions that the story of Jesus' birth. Joseph is going to teach us three valuable lessons about fatherhood today, and I would like to share those with you. That first lesson is a lesson in righteousness. We're introduced to Joseph, who is introduced in the middle of a personal crisis. He had become engaged to a very beautiful young girl. He had worked hard to establish an income so that he could support his new bride and the family that was to come. He is in love. He's committed to Mary. He believed that she loved him. That is, until what? He hears some special news. News that his precious bride is pregnant. I can imagine he probably felt heartbroken and betrayed. And then we think, well, how should he respond? Should he publicly shame her? Should he turn her over to the authorities? Because in those days, she could be stoned to death. If you heard her explanation of the pregnancy, pretty unbelievable, isn't it? In earthly terms. Even for some, it was blasphemous. If Mary hadn't been stoned to death on the charge of adultery, she might have received that same death because of her blasphemous proclamation. However, Joseph chooses a path of mercy. For the Bible tells us, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Before Joseph had heard the divine explanation of why Mary was pregnant, Joseph chooses kindness and discretion. There's no malice on his part. We don't see him explode and get put out of shape. He certainly could have asked a lot of questions, couldn't he? How could you do this to me? Who's the father? But no words are recorded, only tenderness on his part. You know, he might have been the talk of the town of Nazareth. Can you imagine the gossip that was going around at that time? Friends might have been talking behind his back and making snide comments. But he would not hurt Mary, no matter what the situation was or what he thought she had done to him. He could have demanded that bitter sentence to have her killed, but he chose grace and he chose mercy. You know, dads, the key to being a good father is also to be a good man. How many of you know who James Dobson is? Raise your hand. You've heard of him. Yes, he is the founder of Focus on the Family, which is located, I believe, in Colorado Springs. It's still to this day. He's often quoted as saying, one of the best things that a father can do for his children is to love their mother. And that is exactly what Joseph did. He loved Mary, even though maybe he thought she didn't love him. Joseph met that standard and was right and just. And that, fathers, is the kind of lesson, a lesson in righteousness that we need to teach our kids. The next lesson that Joseph had for us to learn about is a lesson in responsibility. You know, after making his plans to quietly dismiss her and divorce her, God gave Joseph that very special dream, a glimpse into the divine plan that he had. And there was an angel then that appeared to Joseph and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, but for which that which is conceived in her is from whom? The Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And then the Bible goes on to say that when Joseph woke from that sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took Mary as his wife, but he did not know her until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. You see, Joseph clearly understood what God expected of him and was ready to obey. He could take Mary to be his wife, and maybe those cutting remarks of a child conceived prior to the wedding would be out there in the public. He would obey, though, in spite of the fact that the child was a divine promise, and even though that child was born under a cloud of adultery. And he did call his son, his adopted son, Jesus, just as he was told to do. Joseph believed God, and he obeyed God, and he accepted that responsibility that God had given him. And I'm here today to tell you how much better our world would be if every father did the same thing. Here's some statistics I would like to share with you that are rather surprising and at the same time very sad. In 1960, 17% of the children in the United States were raised apart from their biological fathers. 17 out of every 100 children. And then we come to the year 1990, 30 years later. That number has doubled. 36% of the children raised in our country were raised without a father. But that's not the worst of it. Sadly, today, nearly half of the children in this country are raised without a father in their home. How could we have become so irresponsible? You know, dads, we can't leave the rearing of and raising of our children to television or the internet or computers or the daycare teacher or even to a mom who is all alone or by herself. That is also our responsibility as fathers. We need to actively be involved in our children's lives. We need to take responsibility, especially in the formative years. Whatever you plan on teaching, and I'm speaking now to our young fathers, whatever you plan on teaching to your children, whether it be values or morals, those must be taught in the first 5 years of those kids' lives. And after that, it's just reinforcement. And that is a very awesome responsibility that we as fathers carry. There was a recent survey taken of kids, hundreds of kids. And here are the top three things that those kids reported that fathers say most in responding to their children. The number one response is, "I'm too tired." Second place, "We don't have enough money." And third, "Keep quiet." How sad that is. So dads, today we are here. We can learn a lot about what Joseph did, his example. We need to put down that remote control. I know sometimes my wife has to pry that out of my hands. We need to get up off the couch. We need to spend some time with our kids. We need to take that responsibility. Even us as grandpas, we can get down on the floor with our grandkids. We can play with them. We can play baseball with them, take them to the park. And I'm happy to see today, most importantly, dads, we need to take our kids to church. Well, that brings us to the last lesson that Joseph can teach us today. And it is a lesson in religion. Now, I hate to use that word religion. I hesitate many times because it has many people's minds a very negative connotation. But I don't mean religion in a negative way today. You know, there are many of us, including myself, at times have said that Christianity is a relationship. It is not a religion. But that statement is a little misleading. Yes, Christianity is a relationship that we have with God and His people. But also, true religion is also about our relationship with God and His people. St. James put it this way, as he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And incidentally, James was also a son of Joseph. He was a brother to Jesus. My point is very simple. Joseph was a very devout, religious man. Because in Jewish culture, the father was not only the head of the household, but he was also the primary breadwinner, and he was also the spiritual leader of the family. And we know that after Jesus was born, what did Joseph do? He took Mary and Jesus to Jerusalem to have him circumcised. And then the Bible says, and when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. You see, Joseph knew the Lord's teachings. He obeyed everything the law of Moses said to the best of his ability. And so their annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem tells us much about Joseph. He was dedicated to seeking God and having God lead his family into a deeper relationship also with their heavenly Father. I found this quote, and I wanted to include it today. A child is not likely to find a father in God unless he finds something of God in his father. Seeing God in their father is a child's best way to come to know God as their fathers. You know, dads, we are important. We are important in our children's lives, for we're able to instill faith in our children. We, more than anyone else, are able to show them what a loving father really does look like. And we, more than anyone else, can give them the ability to trust and to depend on their Father in heaven. But you know what? We can't give our kids what we don't have. It becomes a priority, dads. Before our children can see God in us, we have to let God into our hearts and into our lives. We have to seek Him and make Him a top priority. We have to love God with all of our heart, our soul, and all of our minds, and all of our strengths. And when we do that, our kids see that in our lives, and it becomes important to them. There was a preacher who once asked some preschoolers in Sunday school to draw pictures of God. Now, you can imagine what some of those pictures look like. His purpose was to use them as illustrations in his next sermon. And so towards the end of the class, the children were excited to show him their work, and they came up with rainbows and men that had big hands. And finally, the preacher's daughter came and showed him her picture. And her picture showed a man with a suit and a tie on. And her response was, "I don't know what God looks like," she said. "So I just drew my daddy instead." So what do we learn from the man who never said anything? Even though none of his words were recorded in Scripture, we do have Joseph's example for us today. And it teaches us some very valuable lessons in fatherhood. A lesson in righteousness, a lesson in responsibility, and a lesson in religion. And so today, to all of you righteous, responsible, and religious dads who have come to church, I thank you. We thank you for showing us what it means to be a good man. We thank you for always being there when you are needed. And thank you for loving God and making him important in your children's lives. And moms, I'm not leaving you out today, because whether you are a father or not, whether you have had a loving father growing up or not, all of us need to know that we do have a father in heaven who loves us dearly, because he sent his one and only son to save us and to give us eternal life. And he wants nothing more than for all of us to be a part of his eternal family. And so today, this Father's Day, we give thanks to all of you fathers, and we thank God that you are a part of your children's lives. In Jesus' precious name, we say it. Amen. And now, may that peace of God the Father, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who is our risen Savior and Lord. His precious name, we ask it. Amen.